Okay, Sichas Ran Ayin Tes. It's a very important one. Masha kishadam maschil lichnos ba'avodas Hashem uliskarev litzadik ha'emes bom a love hirhurim ubilbulim gedolim. Let's discuss the nature of the fact that when a person begins his entrance into avodas Hashem and he starts drawing close to a tzadik emes, so immediately it creates all sorts of bilbulim, and it creates all sorts of yerhurim, and it creates all sorts of confusion. Boker Tov, Yaakov Baruch. Shavuot Tov. Right? So when a person starts to want to connect more deeply, it causes tremendous anxiety sometimes, a spiritual anxiety. Just pause for 1 second. Let's look at the Pasuk. Let's look at the Pasuk at the end of our source sheet from Megillas Rus. Take a look. Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, and I always think about this pasuk when I think about in source number 9, when I think about religious anxiety. Ani maleya halachti v'rekam hashivani Hashem. Who said this? First parak of Megillas Rus. I'll just keep reading the pasuk. Lama sekreneli na'ami. Don't call me na'ami. V'Hashem onabi. Shakai Hirali. Don't call me Na'ami. Na'ami means that my life is sweet and pleasant and nice. And Hashem has given me nothing other than Tsaras. So Na'ami, when she comes back, she says, Ani Malaya Halachti. When I left, I was a rich woman, had a family. Now I've suffered the loss of relatives. I've lost my money. I've lost my stature in the world. So what does Na'ami say? Ani Malaya Halachti. When I first set out on this journey, I was full. And God has brought me back empty-handed. This is a chiddush I had Shana Aleph when I read this pasuk, because I think it just speaks true. I remember Shana Aleph, I thought of this idea on Shavuos when we were reading Megillas Rus. I said, this is so true to the religious experience. A person thinks that life, you know, a person who doesn't have Hashem in their life in a real way, they feel full, everything's fine, everything's good, right? Last Shabbos, we used to open up cans, and now I have to deal with the religious anxiety of not opening cans on Shabbos. So, ani b'lei halachti. Everything, I was full, life was good. And now, reikam heshivani Hashem. That my relationship with Hashem leaves me empty. In what sense? In the sense that once I realize that learning Shas is of value, so now I have the pressure of 2,711 pages of Shas. When I didn't care about learning Gemara, so then I don't have to worry about it. Everything's good, life is full. But now that I start to care about Hashem leaves me sometimes feeling empty. I have to fill up my life with that godliness. And that's very stressful. So that's what Rabbi Nachman is talking about in Sichos Aran Ayin Tes. That when a person begins to get more spiritually connected, it can be very overwhelming. It causes all sorts of hirhurim. It causes all sorts of bilbulim gedolim. True or not true? So far, do we agree? Also, I want to be close to a big person. But when you're in the presence of a big person, I remember I once went to a chabura with Rav Matal Zilber, the Tzichina Rebbe. I was driving from you know, New Jersey to Brooklyn. And I remember on the way back, and when you're in that space, it's like Lamala Minatella, you're beyond this world. And I remember this is when I first had this like thought, exactly this feeling. I remember we got back on the highway on the way back, and I remember seeing this big billboard with LeBron James on it. And I remember this billboard of like, how could it be these two things exist in the same world? Like, how could it be you enter into the tzaddik's, you know, not just his base medrash, you enter into like his little study, you know, and you swim in his Torah for an hour and a half, and then you come back and there's still like a West Side Highway. Like, how could that be? How does that still exist? So when they're in the presence of the tzaddik, like, it's hard. You grapple, like, what does it mean to be normal? I know I'm not the tzaddik. I'm not the tzaddik like that tzaddik. Right? But I feel so uplifted. But like, I come back down to planet Earth and do my homework. How do I stidter? So that's what Rabbeinu was talking about here. When a person gets close to a tzaddik, so sometimes it creates all sorts of bilbulim. Sometimes I'm not sure, you know. I want to change my whole life to never leave the tzaddik's side. Or sometimes the tzaddik, maybe the tzaddik is pushing away because he really thinks he doesn't belong by him. Maybe he's pushing away because he's testing him. There's all sorts of bilbulim that come with being close to holiness. And that's what the Ami is saying. Life was pleasant and simple before I knew anything. And now, Rekam Heshivani Hashem. Hashem makes life complicated. Obviously, it's a good type of complicated. But Rabbi Nachman says it's understood that when a person gets serious about Avodas Hashem, again, if you're just chilling, you're not doing anything with your life, so everything's good, nothing bothers you. But if you're serious about your life, if you believe in your own existence, if you believe there's purpose to your existence, so you can't just, you know, there's a pressure that comes with that. Zekamo l'mashol kli mayim, back in Rabbeinu. Zekamo l'mashol kli mayim. Nice second little paragraph. Shemitchila nira ki'ilu hamayim tzalul. You take water, and it looks like mayim tzalulim, clear water. And then achar kach, kisheshoifsin umamidin hamayim etzal le'esh, then you put the water in the kettle, and you boil it up. Umatchil hitvashel. You start to heat up the water. I'm always surprised when I empty out our urn on Motzei Shabbos. I'm always like shocked Sunday morning after it dries overnight. I'm always surprised how much stuff is like on the wall of the urn. It was just water. It was clean water. It's such like a mineral buildup on the inside wall of the urn when those droplets of water dry out. So when you look at the water, it looks like it's clear. But you heat up the water, and all of a sudden what happens? Azai mizbalbel hamayim, the water becomes mububal, the water starts moving. Umala harasicha kolapsolas shai b'mayim, va'ola kolapsolas lamala. And all of a sudden you start to notice on the surface of the water all sorts of impurities that you didn't notice before. I thought this was perfectly clear water. And next thing you know, you're scooping up this, you know, the sediment that like rises to the top, whatever it is. And I thought the water was perfectly clear. And now that I'm cooking it up, all of a sudden I'm starting to realize the water has to go through a process of purification, of refinement. And someone needs to stand there scooping the, you know, that layer off the top of the water that you wouldn't have noticed had you not engaged it, had you not put it on the fire. It's a great mashal. Initially, you thought the water was perfectly clear and clean. And now, the more you cook it again, you keep recognizing more and more stuff coming up. But each time you scoop away a little bit more, and you scoop away a little bit more, eventually what do you actually do? You actually are cleaning the water. You are purifying the water. What you initially thought was clear water, in the end, after this process of purification, of removing whatever type of soulless emerges, so then you actually have crystal clear water. And so I could have, ignorance is bliss, I could have never boiled the water and whatever. I could have just taken a chance. But now that I boiled up the water, I know that the water that I have after this process is much, much cleaner. It's much purer than it originally was. So says Rabbeinu, Kamo Kein Mamish, in the third paragraph. Kamo Kein Mamish Kodem Shemaschila Adam Lichnos Bavodas Hashem. Before a person starts their avodas Hashem, azayat tov v'hara me'urav and bo. Sometimes the good and the not so good is so deeply mixed within a person that you can't even recognize what's good and what's not good about myself. You're unaware. That's what we're going to talk about. Becoming self-aware is such an important part of the religious process. U'machmas shehem me'urav and va'od, because it's me'urav, it's so deeply connected. Einir ha'psoles v'hara shebo klal. You don't even recognize certain shortcomings in your midos, right, in your outlook, in your behavior. You don't even have a language or a hashkafa sachayim to acknowledge your shortcomings. The good and the bad, it's all mixed together. But when you spend time in the presence of big people, where you start to give Torah the respect that it deserves, and you sit humbly in front of the Gemara, and you say, wow, so many pages of Gemara, so many Rashi, so many Tosfos, the Rush, the Rif, the Marsha, the Nemukei Yosef, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, there's so much. Right? And that's even before I even opened the Shulchan Aruch. It's before I opened the Torah Beis Yosef. There's just so much to know, and I'm humbled by that. And I'm in awe of that. And I spend time in the presence of people who've lived that and have been transformed by that. So then a person starts to realize, wow, at first it's so overwhelming. But then it becomes part of this process of what? I want to be like that. And yeah, it's going to hurt. I got to cook it up a little bit. You know, I got to go through the process. I got to skim off the filth on the top. Then a person starts to, he starts to purify. No, before you know it, it's going to be a Chodesh Kislev. It's time to think about purifying ourselves. To sift through. Again, not to live in a world of bilbulim. To live in a world of everything's me'urav. It's adas tovera. Got to work through that to get to the Itzachayim. Got to work through all of those imperfections. And therefore, each time I agitate the water, a little bit more of the dirt comes to the surface, and I'm able to remove it. But again, I have to be prepared to shake things up a little bit. Again, I need to pay attention, because if I let the water settle, then you know all the junk will settle back to the bottom. As I yishaer. But if someone tends to it as they should, then it'll be left zach, it'll be pure, it'll be tzalul, it'll be clean, legamri, completely, as it could be and as it should be. And now Rabbeinu concludes the piece by saying, but, it's a gradual process. Right? You cook up the water, and some of the psolus rises to the surface, and you scoop it off, and you agitate it again. And you keep cleaning it. You keep cleaning it, you know? Sometimes you have a swimming pool or a mikveh, you know? And like you're trying to clean it out. And like you spent like 20 minutes, you know? And then like you look at it and you're like, what? It's still dirty. Okay. It takes a lot of times to actually refine it completely. Got to run the filter for a long time. Hayefshir lahotzi apsoles v'harefesh miyad. Me'anoshim shahayu begashmias mitchila. Miniskarvu la'ashem yisvach. So says Rabbi Nachman, you'll ask Akasha. Wouldn't it be efshar, wouldn't it be possible to remove the psoles, to remove the filth, the refesh? Shouldn't it be possible to remove it immediately from those people who are so dirty, who are sunken in gashmius? Couldn't you get close to Hashem right away? Can't there be a transformative moment that like my whole life gets turned around? And the answer is not really. Number one, it hardly ever works like that. And number two, says Rabbi Nachman, that's also dangerous. Why is that dangerous? Achma yihyeh. How would that work? If I don't start to separate the good from the bad, and I try to scoop out too much at once, so I end up taking out too much of the good also. So I have to go through this process of birurim. I have to go slowly. Again, look at the words. I would take my mind out with me. Right, I lose my mind. I have to figure out how to do it in a balanced, in a healthy way. Because everything's ma'ur of hakol yachad. Everything is woven together. So it would be unreasonable for a person to what? To try to you know, you'll lose all the water too. In ma'im al Torah. You'll lose your personality because you're so busy trying to get rid of the negative aspects of your midos that you end up scooping out the part that makes you who you are. Al-kein ha'achreach li'os mbasun ashiyaz dakech ma'at mat. And therefore, a person needs to proceed slowly, slowly, until he purifies himself little by little. It's not a process that happens overnight. Okay? Ad kan the words of Rabbi Nachman b'Breslov. Good. So in the Likutei Maran, in a famous Torah that we've referenced a few times, let's just read a little bit of inside, in source number two. In Torah Kuf Tezvav, again, the willingness to engage the pain that allows for the tikkun to take place. We spoke about it last week a little bit, the concept of there's nothing really bad, how everything bad is really good in disguise, bo el paro, unpackaging whatever's holding back that goodness. So in a famous Torah in Likutei Maran, Rabbi Nachman says in source number two, Vayamod ha'am mirachok u'mosh nigash al harafel asher sham elokim. Just very quickly, because I know some of you know it already. Right? The people stood at a distance, and Moshe approached the dark cloud, where Hashem's presence was found. A person who spends his whole life living a certain, you know, physical existence. And then he decides, I want to be a yid. Something happens. The water gets cooked up a little bit. Something moves him, agitates him. And he decides, he's on fire, he wants to be a emistik yid. So what happens? Azai midas hadin makatra galav. Midas hadin. Hold on 1 second. That's not fair. You have to pay the price for your choices. You made choices along the way. You can't just pretend all of a sudden to clear yourself about tshuva and get rid of all the bad choices you made. So midas hadin, a sense of fairness, comes and says, "Eino maniach oso leilich b'darchei Hashem yisbach." It doesn't allow you to just get right on the path. You can't just hop right on the path. U'mazmin lo maniach. And therefore, a mania, a blockage, some type of obstacle is placed in his way. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is hiding within that mania. In other words, when you start to agitate the water, and again, there's an emptiness that comes with that. There's a filthiness. You're dirtier than you thought you were, because now you're thinking about your life. You're becoming self-aware. You're being reflective. You're being contemplative. Right? Again, the pasuk that we read in Rus. Right. That I thought I was full. It's verse 9. I thought I was full, but then Hashem made me feel empty. Hashem helped me. When I was in the presence of Hashem, I started to feel my own insecurities. I felt my own lowliness. But realize that's all out of a sense of fairness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to push through that. Rabbi Nosson writes, Ot Shemanu Bezem Piva Kadosh, second little paragraph in source 2. Shehoisev Levar Inyan, Rabbi Nachman explained. Why is it that Hashem conceals himself in the Maniyah? Why doesn't Hashem help a person get back on track? Maniyah is an obstacle, the stumbling block, the thing that's going to try to convince you it's not worth it. Right? Whatever that blockage is, Maniyah means a blockage. So the reason that Hashem has to acknowledge this blockage or create this blockage, ki Hashem Yisbarach ohev mishpat. Hashem loves justice. Hashem is very fair. Hashem is the ultimate sense of fairness. He's a melech who's ohev tzedakah u'mishpat. Hashem likes fairness. But he also loves Jews. V'gam hu ohev Yisrael. Hashem loves Jews. And Hashem loves Jews more than he loves fairness, by the way. Ach ha'avaso shu ohev Yisrael v'gedolu yoser me'ava shu ohev Yisrael. That's a mefurish Zohar in Parshas Emor. That Hashem loves Jews more than he loves midas hadin. So he's always going to cheat for Klal Yisrael, but he has to acknowledge Midas Hadin a little bit. And therefore, when the Sitra Acher, when the Yitzhar says, it's not fair, how should it be that this Jew is allowed to overturn his life, 1, 2, 3, you have to put a blockage. So Hashem says, okay, I'll put a blockage, but I'm going to put myself in the blockage. I'm going to hide myself in that blockage, and I'm going to hope, like it says where it's bolded, Hashem Yisbarach nosein rishus lahaz milo menios. I'm going to have to grant permission, Midas Hadin, a sense of fairness. I have to allow the blockage to take place. But Hashem puts himself in that blockage with the hope that you'll be able to realize that it's worth it. And the fullness that you thought, when you thought life was good, before you started thinking about your life, it was a very superficial type of good. It was like the water that was clear before you cooked it up. But once you cook it up and you go through the process, yeah, it gets dirtier. It becomes surprised at what you find. But then you have the opportunity to skim off all of that filth and to actually what? And actually get close to something real. And again, that's what this pasuk is describing. Rabbi Nachman is talking about. The people stood from a distance. A lot of people, they're just like, I don't want to engage. Moshe nigash ala arafel asher sham elukim. But Moshe approached the dark cloud. Moshe was willing to what? To challenge himself, to face, so to speak, those demons, those monsters, to accept the challenge in order to what? In order to encounter Hashem. Oh yeah, it takes courage. That's what Rabbi Nachman's saying. It's okay to be nervous that becoming more religious is going to have implications. It does. And it's more than just opening soda cans on Shabbos, I'm telling you. It's a lot more than that. A lot more complicated than that. Right? But when a person digs deep inside of himself, and he's willing to bubble up some of that filth and to deal with it, it's a very chashuva thing. The youngest son of the Rizhner, Yisrael Rizhner, was the Rebbe of Husyatin. The Rizhner had 6 sons. The youngest was Husyatin, the Rebbe of Husyatin. So the story is told that the Rebbe of Husyatin once had a repairman in his house, a handyman was in his house, because there was some damage to his couch, and he wanted the couch to be fixed. So the Rebbe of Hosiatin pays this guy to fix his couch. So he fixes the couch. He does a little upholstering, a little repair. And afterwards, the Rebbe says to the fellow, you missed a spot. So he says, Rebbe, where? So he points to the back of the couch, the part that's up against the wall. And he says, there's a little tear on the back of the couch. So the repairman says to him, what do you need? No one sees that part. It's against the wall. It's a hidden part. No one sees that part. So the Rebbe said, we were taught, when we were young, we were taught that it's most important to perfect the areas that nobody sees. That's the main part. You think I want you to fix the part of the couch that everyone sees? I want you to fix the part of the couch that nobody sees. Love that story. Right? Because everyone wants, we all believe in fixing up the part that everyone sees about us. But how many of us are courageous enough to bubble up the part that nobody sees, to bring it to the surface? Whether it's a conversation with myself, or my Rebbe, or my therapist, or my friend, right? And being willing to put that out there, to bring it to the surface, to be able to then clean it up, the MS, not to just ignore the tear on the back of the couch, but to deal with the tear on the back of the couch. Chaver, what does it mean to be a chassid? You learn chassidus? Does that make you a chassid? You wear a strimal? In the Hayom Yom, in source number 3, in the Lubavitch calendar, with Hasidic teachings. Shem chassid hu shem kadum hanimtza b'divrei chazal. The term chassid is not something that the Baal Shem Tov made up. It's a term that is found already in Chazal. In fact, the Gemara in Eruvin says about Adam HaRishon that he was a chassid. Gamal Adam HaRishon, it says he was a chassid. Eruvin daf yilches. V'hu tovar hashleimus v'ha'aflaga im b'seichel o b'midos o b'shneim yachtav. A traditional translation of the term chassid is a toar, is a description of a shleimus, of a sense of wholesomeness, of haflaga, of exceptional performance, whether it's in intellect, in seichel, in midos, or maybe a combination of the two. That's a chassid, a towering figure in mind, in character. Okay. Amnam, b'toris chassidus chabad. You know what a chassid is according to Chabad chassid? You know what a chassid is? Tovar chassid who? The definition, the description of a chassid is mi shemakir mahuso ha'atzmi, a person who recognizes himself deeply, a person who understands himself, a person who is willing to boil up the water to bring the dirt to the surface. Umamado biyadiyas haTorah v'limuda umatzavo b'kiyam ha'mitzvos, a person who is self-aware of his mamid, his place in the world. He knows how much he knows, and he doesn't fake it. He knows how much he doesn't know. He knows the mitzvahs he does, and he's well aware of the mitzvahs that he doesn't do. He knows his matzah when it comes to kiyama mitzvahs. Yodea hu masha chaser lo. He knows what's lacking. He's not ignoring it. He's not avoiding it. And pretending life is more beautiful when I ignore it. Naomi became more beautiful. She thought, I'm not Naomi anymore. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. My life is so bitter. I lost my money. Lost my family. I'm not Naomi anymore. When I left, I had it good, and now I come back and I'm empty-handed. And of course, her name is Naomi. No, this is Naomi. Part of your discovering your beauty is finding your inner beauty and going through that struggle. So a real chassid is not a person who wears a strimal. It's not even a person who's a genius or has exceptional midos. It's not about how qualified you are in terms of performance. It's about how self-aware are you. A chassid knows his place in the world. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing right. He knows what he's doing wrong. He knows what's chaser lo. V'nosein lei v'doeg l'malos is a chaser. And he wants to engage that. He wants to fill the void in his life. He wants to fix it. He wants to deal with the tear in the back of the couch. He doesn't want to ignore it. Umar b'mashmos b'derech kabbalas ol. And he's deeply concerned on what is the mashmos, what are the implications of kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. Everyone in the room said Shema today. What are the implications of that Shema? What do we accept to do today? But we said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I love Hashem with all my heart and all my soul and all my being, all my resources. What is the mashmos of that? What are the implications of that? It's not a song we say. It's something we have to try to live. That's what a chassid is. To be self-aware. The Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, in Tovshin Yud Aleph, during one of his chassidic gatherings, in celebration of Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Shvat, in source number 4, he told the following story. He said, the story is known, Yadua Asipur, Shebishah Shirabinu Azakin Amud Linsoa Mi Mezrich Lebeso. When the Alta Rebbe was leaving Mezrich to go home, so he was walking with his Chavrusa and friend, the son of the Maggid of Mezrich. Who was the son of the Maggid of Mezrich? Of Avram HaMalach, they called him. Avram HaMalach was a very deep yid. What? Why was he called the Malach? I'll leave it to you to guess. Probably a lot of things. But he never became a leader of the Hasidic world in the sense that he was beyond. He was totally beyond. But he learned with the Alter Rebbe. The son of the Maggid of Mezrich. You would think that he would have been the next in line, you know? Baal Shem Tov, the Maggid. Avram HaMalach was a Malach, Mamish. So anyway, so he was escorting him. Avram HaMalach was walking with the Alter Rebbe. Va'amar HaMalach Labal HaAgala. And Rav Avram HaMalach said to the wagon driver, as the Balatani was climbing aboard, you know, to head home, Yesh lahatzlif besusim, sheyechdelu liyosusim. He told the Balagala, when you whip the horses, whip them so much that they're no longer horses. Makos. Va'od nosach, and the other nosach is, shasusim yadu shehem susim. Hit the horses enough that they know that they're horses. You hear? Chav yechav. One nosach is hit the horses so much that they stop being horses. Shake them up enough that they stop being horses. What that means. Or at least shake them up enough under the whip. Horses at least know that they're horses. But Amar Rabbeinu Azakim, and the Alter Rebbe did this. Now again, it's not just the words. It's the way that Rav HaMalach must have said it. When he understood what the implications, again, the most of his words, Sheni toisva etzlo derech vavodas Hashem. He said, he's saying something deep. He's saying he is sowed in the vodas Hashem. He's revealing something very deep. The Alter Rebbe said, you know what? I'm canceling my trip. I'm sticking around a little bit longer. Dacha es nisiyaso. He canceled his trip. He pushed off his departure. Venishar od meshach zman b'mezrich. He said, I think there's more to learn here. I'm going to stick around a bit longer. Halavai, we should be able to take the part of ourself that is unrefined and beat it out of us. But at the very least, to acknowledge what's there. Right? Hit the horses to the point that the horses at least know that they're horses. It's a chashiv. It's a chashiv. Such a chashiv teaching. And that's what it means to be a chassid. That's what we're saying. The definition of being a chassid is to know. If I'm a horse, I have to know I'm a horse. I don't want to stay a horse forever. I'd like to graduate. I'd like to be an adam. I'd like to be more than an adam. I'd like to be a yisrael. I'd like to be more than just a Stam Yisrael, not such thing as a Stam Yisrael, but I want to be a tzaddik. Right? But it starts with what? With shaking things up. You got to boil up the water until the stuff rises to the surface, and then you can start to be mitake. But if you're going to ignore it, if you're not going to dig deep, if you're not going to look at it, then you're never going to get anywhere. You'll never get anywhere. It says at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, V'shachato so'al yerach ha-mizbeach sefona lefnei Hashem. Chaver, let's walk into Beis HaMikdash together for a second, okay?
Hey, you stole my marker. Let's walk into the Beis HaMikdash together. Okay, let's walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Let's walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. East. West, north, south. Yeah? So you come in, let's say you came in through the east. Okay, this is the Ulam, this is the Heichal, this is the Kodesh HaKadasha. Okay, this is the big outer Mizbeach. This is the ramp of the Mizbeach. This is the northern section of the Beis HaMikdash where there were rungs, which were used to hold the animals in place while you shafted. Here's the kior for washing your hands. Yeah, in the Heichal is the menorah, the small mizbeach, shulchan. Okay. So now, what does the Torah say? The Torah says in Parshas Vayikra, "V'shachato so al yerech hamizbeach, you should shecht alongside the mizbeach tzafona lifnei Hashem." When it comes to kodshei kodashim, holy of holies, where in the Beis HaMikdash do you do the slaughtering? To the north of the mizbeach, alongside the mizbeach, to the north. What about Kodshim Kalim? What about lesser karbanos? There's more room.
Teshef within the Azar. Right? This whole area known as the Azar. Okay? There's more room Teshef in the Azar. Fine? So Kodshei Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, in terms of Karbanos, Kodshei Kodashim, the holiest Karbanos, Tzafona Lifnei Hashem, or Shechted in the north. Sound familiar? You say it in the morning. Source number 6, the first mission in the fifth parak of Zvachim. Ezu Mekomen Shel Zvachim. What is the place of ritual slaughter? Where you shecht, Zevach is shecht, where you shecht? Kodshei Kodashim, Shritasan B'Tzafon. The most important Karbanos are slaughtered in the north. However, we know the Torah says, Adam ki akriv mikem karban la'Hashem. A person needs to bring himself as a karban. Adam ki akriv mikem karban la'Hashem. When a person brings from that which is his a karban to Hashem, but of course, a literal translation, Adam ki akriv mikem karban la'Hashem. When a person brings himself, Adam ki akriv mikem, a person brings himself. So thank you. Adam ki akriv mikem karban la'Hashem. And a person brings himself a karban to Hashem. Now, I want to bring a good karban. I'll bring the holiest karban I can bring. I want to bring something that's mamish kodshei kodashim. I slaughter it where? In the north. Tzafona. However, at the Pesach Seder, we have 15 steps. The 12th step is called? No? Tzafun. What is tzafun? Hidden. What's hidden? The afikomen. And we bring it back out at the end of the Seder, and we engage it, we eat it, right? What's the inyan of tzafun? And what's the relationship between the word tzafun, which means hidden, and tzafon, which means north? What's the relationship between the tzafun and the tzafon? Why are the holiest things in the north? Or why are the holiest things, so to speak, in the hidden places? By Chabad, the practice is, you take the afikomen, and they break it into 5 smaller pieces. You don't know about this? You break it into 5 smaller pieces, connected to 5 parts of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. What are we doing? What's the message of the afikomen? You see, the Seder is a roller coaster. Maschu, Bignus, Tzumasayim, Shevach. We start off with our suffering, and then we work our way up to a feeling of Gula, and then we're dipping back into the Maror, and then we're feeling the dual message of the matzah. We're drinking 4 cups of wine, and we're reclining, and we're reliving the pain of the past, and we're reliving the success of the past, and now we're grappling with the fact, but right now I'm having a Seder, even though I'm in Galus, but that gives me hope that there's going to be an eventual Gula. It's a roller coaster, the Seder. But by the end of this, you know, family therapy session called the Seder, right, we're ready for tzafun. We're ready to bring out something hidden. Doesn't mean that I have to put on display all of my, you know, I don't need like a big reveal at the Seder. Like, okay, now that we're up to tzafun, I want to share something with everyone that I never, like, yeah, it doesn't have to be that. But between you and Hashem, but the Ben Adam La'atzmo, a revelation of self. We retrieve something from a hiding space, and we bring it out, and we say, I'm ready to deal with it. I'm ready to put it out on the table. Adam ki akriv mikem karban la'Hashem. I bring a hidden part of myself, and I put it out there. This idea of the tzafon, of the tzafun, it's found in different svarim. Chasav Sofer talks about it. Chedush Arim talks about it. I want to bring out, not just, I don't want to just drop off a karban for Hashem. I want to bring something from within myself, something secret and something deep. The Beis Yisrael, the fourth Ger Rebbe, passed away in 1977. That means none of us were ever on planet Earth at the same time as him, unfortunately. I was born in 1981. No one in this room. We never breathed the same air as the Beis Yisrael. Beis Yisrael was a very intense, very halig person. Never had any children. Never had any children. He was the one who was mamale the makom of his father, Imre Emes. Imre Emes passed away in 1948. Beis Yisrael passed away in 1977. So one time, the Beis Yisrael was very whatever this means, you know, for tzaddikim, was very disturbed by something. He was very disappointed. He was very down. There was something. He was very bothered by something. And the Alexander Rebbe said to him, "You know what's going on?" And you don't want to get into it. Whatever it was, it was evident. He was upset. He was upset by something. So Alexander Rebbe said, "Let me tell you a mashal." He said, "You know the pasuk says by the Tochacha, Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uv'tuv leva mirov kol. Why did all of the horrible things in Parshas Kisavo? Why did all these horrible, read Tochacha, these horrific psukim, it sounds like a holocaust. Why did all these horrible things happen? How does it end? The Torah says, Tachas, because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elokecha, you didn't serve Hashem with joy at a time of abundance. So because you didn't appreciate the good times, so Hashem gave you some really horrific times. Okay, kind of hard to imagine. Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha. That's why all these things happened. It's hard to understand. So the Alexander Rebbe said to the Beis Yisrael, I said to the Ger Rebbe, let me tell you a story. He said there was once a Rebbe who was teaching his class Aleph Beis. And he was asking them, to practice reading the letters. So he'd hold up a letter with the nekudos underneath, or he would say the letter, he would say, Kamatz Aleph. So the boys would say, oh, okay, good. Patach Beis. Ba, good. Good, Bachim. And he's calling on the boys, to practice. A gimel with a chirik under it. Gi, good, beautiful. Yankel, nu. He holds up a picture, he draws it on the board, whatever it is. Nu, Yankel, what's under the hay? She's Yankel, he's very nervous. It's okay. Try. What's under? Sometimes it's scary. A little kid gets called on in class. It's okay if you don't know. Tell me what's under the hay. And you see this kid is like bugging out. So nervous. Rebbe's a nice Rebbe. He tries to calm down. No, what's under the hay? What's under the hay? Yanko, what's wrong? Why are you so stressed out? You look upset. Is everything okay? You look like you're about to cry. So he said, Rebbe, my father told me to promise him that I would never tell anyone what's under the hay. Apparently his father had stolen something and hid it in the barn or whatever, under the hay. And he said, I'm not allowed to say what's under the hay. My father told him, I'm never allowed to say what's under the hay. Not allowed to say what's under the hay. So Alexander Rebbe said, that's part of the pshat in this pasuk. Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elokecha. Why am I not being the best Jew I can be? So sometimes we think it's one thing, but the Torah is telling you, no, you gotta find out what's really behind it. What's really behind it? What's tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elokecha? The Alexander Rebbe said, the key word is tachas. Right? What's underneath it? What's behind it? What are you hiding? What are you scared of? What are you scared? You're scared to learn halacha because what? Because it's gonna make your life more challenging, but it's also gonna make your life more meaningful. So ignorance is bliss. If I care, then I have to obligate myself to learn Torah on a daily basis, and I'm nervous what happens when I don't have time, then I'm just going to feel guilty about it. So the Alexander Rebbe said to the Ger Rebbe, I see that you're very upset about something, but don't forget, tachas. Right? You might think you're upset about something over here, but what's really beneath it? You got to dig deep, you got to figure out what's the shoresh of why you're feeling the way that you do. My good friend, Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld, Shlita, is just on the cover of some Yiddish magazine. For this sort of like from Joey. I'll tell you when I shut the recording something about that. I can't say it on tape. My brother told me. So Joey once said, a gewaldig vart. When do we like really clean up our lives? Pesach, right? Pesach's when we get rid of the chametz in our life. The whole vart is that, most people are sweeping things under the rug. On Pesach, we lift up the rug, we sweep things out from under the rug. We do the opposite. So Joey once said, he said that on Purim, all the dirt floats to the top, which makes Pesach cleaning that much easier. It's a deep teaching. I did Purim before Pesach. What happens on Purim? Everything bubbles up. Like we're learning in Rabbi Nachman today. Everything comes to the surface. Right? And hopefully not everything if you drink responsibly. Right? But a lot of things. Nichlas Yayin Yatza Sod. All of a sudden, the things that are buried deep, all of a sudden, this stuff. It comes bubbling up to the surface, like Rabbi Nachman saying. You put the kettle on the stovetop, and all of a sudden everything, right, all the dirt is bubbling up to the surface. But the vart is that on Purim we bring everything up to the top, and then on Pesach we're able to clean it away that much more easily. Right? And that's part of the tzafun of the Pesach seder. That's what we're trying to do. The Gemara says in source number 8, the Gemara in Sukkah says that there are 7 names to the Yetzer HaRa. One of the names of the Yetzer Hara that the Navi Yoel referred to him by Hashem Yitzhahara. Each of the different tzaddikim called him by a different name. Says the Sukkah Nun Bezim and Aleph, Yoel Kar Tzifoni. Why do they call him Tzifoni? Shenemar Es HaTzifoni Archik Me'aleichem. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan Ves HaTzifoni Archik Me'aleichem Ze Yitzhahara Shetzafun Va'omed Belibo Shel Adam. The Yitzhahara likes to hide in a place where what? Where hopefully you won't even notice it. But again, that's the avoda that Rinachm is describing. That's the religious anxiety that comes with digging deep inside of ourselves. But that's the only way to beat the Yitzhahara. You have to go tzafun. You have to go into a deep place. You have to be prepared to look inside yourself in a deep way. And that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating the world, the Medrash tells us back in source number 7 that there are 4 ruchos, there are 4 borders of the world. Right? Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you have the 4 directions and there's different things that happen on each of the sides of the Beis HaMikdash, representing different energies, different forms of connection. So the Medrash in Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, one of our earliest Midrashic works, says, Arba ruchos ba'olam, source number 7. There's a ruach towards the Mizrach, towards the east. There's a ruach pinas hamarav, to the west. There's a ruach of Darum, there's a ruach of Tzafon. And the Medrash says, from the east, the light comes to the world. And from the south, Tale Bracha and Gishme Bracha come to the world. And then the Medrash says, what about the north? What's in the north? Says the Medrash where it's bolded, Davar Acher, Ruach Pinas HaTzafon, Bara V'lo Gemar. HaKadosh Baruch, when Hashem was creating the world, He made the northern side, but He didn't complete it. He did not complete the northern side. I don't know, I feel like we mentioned, I'm getting deja vu. Did we mention this once about the northern side, the letter Beis? Did we talk about this? I'm having this feeling like we spoke about this once. You'll take my word for it for now. The letter Beis, the first letter of the Torah, this side, the open side, is the northern side. So, I mean, how is that north? How is the left side north? Well, very simply, you're about to see that the north is a very dangerous and negative side. And the left side, we usually associate with Midas Adin. So I'm just telling you, the open side of the Beis sort of represents the 3 enclosures of the world with the northern side open. What does that mean, the northern side is open? What does that even mean? What do the words even mean? Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not complete the northern side. Amar, Hashem said, Shekol, mi sheyomer shehu eloka. Anyone who claims to be godly, or claims to be God, yavo v'yigmor es hapina hazos. Let him come and complete this side. Shehanachti, the side that I left alone. And then everyone will know, v'yadu akol shehu eloka. Then it'll be known to all. It'll be known that this person is God. Hashem says, I built out most of the world. If you can finish the job, that means you're God. Oh, you can't? You can't build the fourth wall, so to speak? Then you're not God. It's a deep medrash. It's a little unclear what that means. But from the north continues the medrash, V'sham hu medor l'mazikin u'lizavos. From the north side is all the mazikin, all the shadim, the ruchos, right? All of the scary rainstorms. That all comes from the north. U'misham concludes the medrash, ra yotzis l'olam. From the north, negativity comes to the world. As it says in the first parak of Yirmiyah, Mitzafon tipatach hara'ah. The danger comes from the north. Right? The north can be scary. But you know what? The north could also be the opportunity of man in this world. Hashem left open. Again, if you claim you're a god, Hashem says, let me see you build the fourth wall. We're not here to claim we're gods, but we're godly. We're created in Hashem's image, which means that we can engage the north. What does it mean to engage the north? It means dealing with the parts of yourself that are sometimes really uncomfortable to deal with. And that's what Rabbi Nachman's teaching us today. That's what Rabbi Nachman, as our therapist, is coaching us to do today. To have the courage to what? Have the courage to look at the parts of ourselves that are uncomfortable, to bring it to the surface, and to clean it up. Not to sweep it under the rug, but to sweep it out from under the rug. To fix the tear, like the Rebbe of Hussi Atin said, to fix the tear behind the caps, not just the part that everybody sees. That's the easy part. But to care to fix the part that no one can see. Last but not least, what did Rabbi Nachman tell us? He told us in the last couple of lines, he told us that the only way to do this is ma'at ma'at. Little by little. You have to be muscle, you have to be patient. You can't do it suddenly. You're not going to clean up. It's too much of a mess. You can't clean it all up in one shot. It's hard sometimes to throw things away, to get rid of things. It takes time. You got to go step by step. Little by little. One moment at a time. My brother always likes to joke, although he's probably not joking, that if he ever had his own shul, that on the paroch, take it slow. It's the only way you're going to get there. It's the only way you're going to get there, to take it slow. Life is overwhelming. Rav Judah Michel tells in his new book, Baderach, he said that his wife's grandmother had a saying. A lot of people say, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. It's a pasuk. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. He said, when my grandmother lost her son, Rav Judah's uncle, Rav Rafal, he said that, Rafal Marcus, he said that Safta changed her expression from Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, which she liked to say. She used to always say that, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. She changed such a deep Torah. He said that Safta would say, Baruch Hashem Rega Rega. Not thank you Hashem day by day. Thank you Hashem second to second, from 1 second to the next. Right? But that's part of taking it slow. Do I have the strength to survive another second? Do I have the courage to be a Yid for one more second? That was her mantra. So just take a look at the last two sources. The Gemara in Sota says, Minayin shekol pruta upruta mitzarefes l'cheshbon gadol. How do you know that every little penny adds up? It's actually talking about it in a negative sense. How do you know that one little avera and another little avera eventually becomes enough to cause destruction? It's the actual context of this Gemara. So how do you know every pruta and every pruta eventually adds up into a big measure? Talmud lomar achas la'achas limtzo cheshbon. But of course, if it's true in a negative sense, then it's true in a positive sense. So says the Shem Bishmuel in the final source. Uvechein al yipol ha'adam alav. Lev ha'adam alav. Shem Bishmuel writes in Parshas Nitzavim. Tafresh Ayin Gimel. 110 years ago. Shem Bishmuel says, a person's heart should not falter when he thinks ba'aricho es mamke libo she'ena yachol lasos tshuva karaoi. A person sometimes assesses the value of his own heart and he says, I don't have, I'm not courageous enough to dig up all my dirt. I'm not ready to put it on the table, to clean it up. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. To do real tshuva, to admit to the things that I've done, to admit to my fears of what it would mean if I became more serious about a life of Torah, it's too scary. I'm not ready to go there. I can't do it. Mikol makom al yimna me'asos zeh ha'ma'at. I think that's part of what Rabbi Nachman is saying. Rabbi Nachman says, I'm asking you to do something scary, but if you're too afraid, if you don't have the courage to do it fully, so do it partially. Begin the conversation, right? Rabbi Nachman tells you have to boil the water many times to get all the sediment off the bottom. So boil it once and take off the most, you know, the filthiest part. Even if you're not ready to dig deep and address all of the issues, don't refrain from doing the little bit that you can do. Ki kol pruta upruta mashalemes l'cheshvon. Shem Yishuv was borrowing from this Gemara in Sota because every little pruta it adds up. Because you don't know also collectively how tshuva works. So you give a little and I'll give a little and you give a little and I'll give a little and eventually it adds up to something. Collectively the Jewish people do tshuva. And God forbid the opposite is true. It could be you're one step away from getting there, from becoming purified completely, being zach. And you decide, I give up. I give up at the last minute. I haven't seen that image. I feel like I've seen it on, you know, like a picture of a guy who's digging to get to the, you know, to get to the diamonds. And he's like dug out this whole tunnel and like he's like one strike away from breaking through the wall to find the treasure and he just like turns around. Chaval, you're right there. You're mamish right there. You never know. A person's sick and you're davening for the refuah. And like, we've been davening for so long, nothing's happened. Maybe you're on the verge of a breakthrough. Maybe one more Shira Malos is going to make the difference. Again, I know that causes also an anxiety. The thought of like, if we would have just davened one more Tehillim gathering, we would have saved this person's life. But we don't know. That's the Shem Yishuv's point. Maybe that last little bit would be enough to tip the scales. So he concludes in the final paragraph. U'lefia dvar me'ela, yuvan mash'isa b'svar. With this, we can understand what it says in the holy books. Shekol ish Yisrael ose tshuva la'eis mitzvah ha'nefesh. You should always do tshuva. You should do what you can, even when what? When you're feeling overwhelmed. When you feel that your mind has been ripped out of you. That's exactly what Rabbi Nachman said. You can't do everything at once because you'll lose your mind. But sometimes I feel like my mind is so overwhelmed I can't even do a little bit. Not true. Do a little bit. Afsha'oz ein b'kocho lasos tshuva kara'oa. Even if you can't do a complete tshuva, b'kol makom hi mashlemes es ha'cheshvon. The little bit that you add today and the little bit that you add tomorrow, it adds up. V'cheinami yesh lomar v'chlolus. Sha'atshuva mikol klal Yisrael. U'mikol yimei ha'golus. The tefillos that people daven on the way to the gas chambers. could combine with the tefillah that you daven this morning in the morg shul to bring a Yeshua. They did 95%, you put the final 5% on. An unbelievable idea. And he writes, he says in conclusion, he writes, four lines from the end, Valkein, move on efsharus ha-tshuva afilu bedoros ha-nemuchim, even in our lowly generation, where our levavos are atumim, our hearts are clogged, like us today, he says. Ki bedor ha-yoser achon enenu chaser rak ma'at lahashlim. Maybe we just need to add that last little bit. Maybe we just need to refine, we need to cook up the pot one more time. Maybe a lot of the work has been done. So if you'll tell me I haven't dug deep enough, I can't be also part of a team that's been working on a project for a long time. So maybe your little bit does make Mashiach realistic to finish, to tip the scale, so to speak. Even though it seems like tshuva shlema is nowhere to be found, but maybe the combination of all of our collective efforts can tip the scales. And therefore, b'kol makom tzrichin leschazik be'es ha'achron b'yoser ki krova yeshuasi lavo amen kein yiratzon. So I give us a bracha. We just have the courage to do what Rabbi Nachman is saying. Take whatever bit of substance you have, put it in a pot, put it on the stovetop, cook it up, whatever comes up to the surface, pay close attention, scoop it off, refine yourself. Again, like the Hayom Yom told us, the definition of a chassid is not a person who's a genius, is not a person who's the nicest person, the finest midos. The person who's self-aware is be'emes a chassid. So with that definition, I give us a bracha, we should all be zochah to be emes the chassidim. Any thoughts, comments? Bayou Counseling Center is a great resource, honestly. An unbelievable resource if you want to sometimes have difficult conversations and cook things up a little bit. It's a tremendous resource. Rebbeim are also, the Mashkichim are also. We're here for you. But you should know, having the courage to cook things up, to shake it up, like Rabbi Nachman saying, can be very scary and overwhelming, but it's cleansing. Yeah. Yeah.
That I remember a specific Pinchas in context with Abraham, where that he looks forwards and or like looks further, and that's like faced, so that's facing east, and so that means that, like, so to speak, like the like biblical man, or like however you want to say it, is like facing east, which means that left is north. So that's like answer.
Okay. All right. If we view ourselves as It's facing
Israel.
Facing Israel. Right. Yeah. A lot to say about that. Closing the fourth wall. Okay, any other thoughts?